Blog Talk Radio.
God be the glory for the great and for the mighty things that he has done. You are listening to the Crossroad Broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Crossroad is professional Christian counselors who are specializing in premarital counseling, marriage counseling, family issues, anger and rage, abuse and neglect. I am your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and I want you to know today that we are here, that you can be enlightened, that the illumination of God's word will come forth, as well as the areas in your life that you need polish, that you need God to come in and make a difference. So today, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. We're getting ready. You still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend, and tell them that the Crossroad Broadcast is on the air. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do, God, according to your word. We thank you, God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our pathway. And God, that word, how we hid in our heart, that we would not sin against thee. Father, have your way today. God, those that are in our Crossroad audience, Lord, bless them. How above measure, meet every need, God, today. God, there is somebody out there that they need more of you. God, they need more of your anointing, more of your power. God, they need more of your spirit. God, they need to hear from you. Somebody, God, that is married, God, somebody that, God, that anticipating being married, God, somebody, God, that's going through things in their life. God, they need you, God, to come in, and God, they need you, Father God, to manifest yourself in their life. So, Lord, I pray even now, God, even if they listen to you, God, on the day, that even before this broadcast is over, God, that they, even if they're not saved, God, that they will receive you, God, as their personal Savior. God, your word says, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised them from the dead. You said that they can be saved. So today, hear, God, on this broadcast. Have your way, God, today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Yes, you are listening to the Crossroads broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce to you out the panelists on this broadcast. They are as following: Dr. Rosa Mary Lucio, Dr. June Normill, and myself, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Our special guest today will be Miss Helen Hoover. I want you to know today that God has you in mind. Every broadcast that we do here on the Crossroad broadcast, God have you in mind because you are special to the Lord. And today, that even as we go through each topic, we want you to be able to learn from, be able to be enhanced through God's word, to be able to be more knowledgeable of how to be a good wife, a good husband. If you are single, you'll learn what to do and what not to do in a marriage relationship. So today, here on the Crossroad broadcast, we're going to talk about the Bible and divorce, and that is going to be coming from Dr. Rosa Mary Lucio. And then we're going to talk about the causes of divorce, which will be by Dr. June Normill, and I will talk about the effects of divorce. And at this time, we're getting ready for you to hear what the Bible says about divorce, and that will come from none other than Dr. Lucio.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, for allowing me to be with you again today, and greetings to the radio audience and also greetings to the radio panel. My topic today is the Bible and divorce. We know that marriage is a happy and a glorious occasion in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is considered an holy matrimony before God and also before others. The joy, the glee, the excitement are often interrupted, often cease, and often stop when a marriage shows sign of little or no love and sometimes failure on one or both married partners, the male and female, the man and woman. Divorce is never easy, even when a couple, a man and a woman, agrees to terminate, agrees to dissolve their marriage. To be honest with ourselves, it hurts to separate and be alone once again. Sometimes a person may feel that they have been ripped apart from the inside out. The divorced person usually have feelings of guilt, anger, sadness, resentment, fear, and disappointment. These feelings usually often dominate the divorced person thinking. And at that time, they may be at a point of a breakdown in their emotions, in their spiritual man, in their physical man, and also in their finances. And this breakdown also may bring on intermittent explosive disorder, which is a repeated episode of aggression and violence. It is known that divorce is common and a growing problem in America. The casual attitude of divorce in the secular world, which we have seen and which we do see on television, television dramas, soap operas, has dismissed the ideal of a lifelong marriage with genuine and loving commitment for each other, the married couple. This attitude of the secular world has spilled over into the Church of the Living God, the pillar of truth, the body of Christ. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, in 1920, there was one divorce for every 7 marriages. In 1940, one divorce for every 6 marriages. And in 1977, there was one divorce for every 2 marriages. As Christians, we know that God instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden between Adam and Eve. According to Genesis 2:21 through 24, marriage is a monogamous physical and spiritual union instituted and established by God for a man and a woman, a male and a female, where adultery was forbidden and dissolution not allowed. Exodus 20:14 says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." So we have the question to the church today, the Christians today, do Christians or did the biblical people in the Bible, did they get divorced? And the answer is yes. We must know that God is not the author of divorce, but man is the originator. The Old Testament view on teaching of divorce. In the Old Testament, only men were able to divorce their wives. According to Deuteronomy 24:1-4, which says, "When a man have taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he have found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his way, out of his house." So the uncleanness could have been the woman could have been unfit, inadequate, insufficient, not capable, not competent, defective in quality. She could have had some unclean issues. She could have been defiled, like in morals, in her spiritual walk, or liking morals, unclean in her rituals or in her physical cleanliness. And the word of God continues, it says, "And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord. And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance." And that scripture means that it cannot be no back and forth from the first husband to the second husband, or how many from the first, second, third, fourth, or sixth husband back and forth, because that's abomination before the Lord. So this law was written, this writing of divorce was given to protect the Hebrews women from being taken advantage of. And the purpose of this law was to prevent hasty divorce, discourage adultery, and preserve marriages. Again, we know that marriage is a permanent, intimate union between a man and a woman, a husband and wife. This is God's perpetual ideal for being fruitful and to multiply. Because of the fall, disobedience to God, and disobedience to God's word, fallen mankind has lived beneath their level. And God recognized this sub-ideal level of living and gave guidelines to govern the practice of divorce. And because the people were living beneath their level, lower than their moral perfection and standard, they were living lower than which was their model of perfection and standard, which was and is God. The New Testament view regarding divorce is that God desires that Christians take marriage very seriously. Mark 10:5-9 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept, but from the beginning of the creation God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put them asunder. The teaching of Jesus in the New Testament is that Jesus reaffirmed the permanent nature of marriage. Jesus pointed out that divine permission for divorce was only given because of human sinfulness and because of human unfaithfulness. Jesus taught that sexual immorality was the only legitimate cause for divorce. Sexual immorality is the one exception for the no divorce intention of God. Matthew 19:9 says, "And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso married her which is put away, doth commit adultery." So the Greek word for fornication is porneia, from which we have the word pornography. Porneia is any and all sexual sins, not to be limited to premarital sex only, but it can and will include all types of sexual sins, such as adultery, bestiality, molestation, incest, homosexuality, pedophile, child and adult sexual abuse, sodomy, and such like. According to Jesus Christ, these sexual immoralities and such like are grounds for a divorce. Paul's teaching, we're going to consider Paul's teaching in the Bible, which allows divorce when there is an abandonment. Paul said, "But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such case, but God have called us to peace." So what is abandonment or to be abandoned? Abandon means that when someone has deserted you, forsaken you, that's when a person leave empty or left you alone, to withdraw from, especially in spite of their responsibility, to withdraw from their duty, to discontinue, to stop doing, to stop providing, to release themselves, to let go, and to surrender. According to the U.S. Attorney of Legal Services, the number of U.S. divorces in 2000 was 957,200 compared to 944,317 in 1999 and 947,384 in 1998. The number of divorced people in the population more than quadrupled from 4.3 million in 1970 to 18.3 million in 1996. The marriage rate has fallen nearly 30% since 1970, and the divorce rate has increased 40%. 43% of first marriages has ended within 15 years. The median duration of a marriage is 7.2 years. 75% of all divorced people remarry, half of them within 3 years. There are 1,075,000 children involved in divorce, or 16.8 children per 1,000 under the age of 18 who are involved in their parents' divorce. God has intended marriage to be a permanent and exclusive union between a man and a woman, a male and a female, who find their sexual fulfillment, who find their sexual enjoyment within their own marriage. Divorce is not commanded in Scripture, neither is it encouraged. God hates divorce and forbids adultery. Divorce and adultery are not unpardonable sins, and we know that God forgive us and expect us as believers to do the same. It is wrong and sinful to treat the divorced person as an outcast or as a second-class person or citizen. So we know that a home that is filled with violence, physical abuse, mental abuse, forced incest, deviant forms of sexual behaviors, foul and corrupt languages, when a person refused to let other members worship and praise God, when they put people in hold them in chains and stocks, should the abused partner or the same partner stay in this marriage? Some victims we know stay in their marriage hiding secrets, trying to make the marriage work, while others turn to extreme violence, which may result in hurting, harming, maiming, and also killing someone else. The Bible doesn't speak about divorce regarding this situation. Sometimes separation from the abuser may give the abuser a repentant heart, a changed heart that may give them an opportunity for God to change that heart of stone to a heart of flesh, and that God will be able to break up that fallow ground. There are some people in an abusive marriage that doesn't want any help, and that could be the abuser and also the abusee. The Word of God says, "There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you, who will not permit you, allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." In closing, in my closing, 2 Peter 2:9 says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations." Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Lucio. We thank God because of the fact that God is so concerned about marriage. We go into marriage as something that we're going, another male and a female, that this thing that we have this love of the other individual, and we're looking at we're going to spend the rest of our lives with this individual. But our mindset should be, even as Dr. Lucio has told us, that we should do our best to live a life concerning what God says about the Bible and marriage. It is so important that marriage will be primary in our lives, what the Word of God says, in order to have an everlasting relationship with our mate. We're going to, at this time, go to Dr. June Norville, and she's going to talk about the causes of divorce. Dr. Norville.
Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Giving honor to God for giving me the opportunity to speak to you today. Also to Dr. Mary McCoy and the radio panel, and all you all in the radio audience who are listening to my voice today. God bless you. My topic today is the cause of divorce. And as we know, there is no one cause for any divorce. First, we just have to realize that every marriage is different, and everybody goes through different things. However, every marriage has challenges and problems, and when those problems are not resolved, a divorce is most likely to occur. Statistics give a list of common causes of divorce, and the things I'm going to say are not in no special order and no special rating, but this is some of the common causes of divorces: lack of communication, money, wrong expectations, lack of commitment, addictions, sex, midlife crisis, society. And we know that society is ever changing, and making laws, building laws don't even abide with the Word of God, such as you know what's going on now in some states is common law marriages. And we know that it's not according to the Word of God as it should be. That's just an open door for adultery. Amen. Little things like a person may have gained weight. A person don't look like they used to look when they first got married. You'd be surprised if even little things cause a divorce. But all of these, what I just said, is not everything in every marriage. Like I said, every marriage is different. But I'm going to talk about one reason that causes divorce, and it's very prevalent. It's prevalent in biblical state. It's prevalent in the secular state, whether you're married, whether you're single. This is what I'm going to talk about. God has given me the revelation to be exposed, one that's called adultery. That's right, infidelity. And that's one of the reasons and what is permissible to get a divorce. And we know that God, like Dr. Lucille said, according to the Bible, that God, that that's not God ordination for us to get a divorce. But that from the beginning wasn't like that. But Moses said, because of the hardening of our heart, Jesus told, because of Moses wrote that law, because of the hardening of our people's heart, that's why that law was written. And you know, if the Bible to give you a reason to divorce, and adultery is one of them, it got to be something very bad. So God has given me the insight to expound on the spirit of adultery. I'm going to focus on that being one of the main causes of divorces, because it all, he also has showed me, and then for us to realize that adultery, infidelity, is voluntary sexual intercourse between a married person and a partner other than the lawful spouse. So that means anybody you have sexual intercourse with, if you're not married to them, that is adultery. That's infidelity. That's not the Bible way. And that is one main cause that causes divorce. But I'm going to show you another thing in the spirit also, that you can have emotional infidelity. That's another aspect of adultery that causes divorces. A lot of times people may think, saying, well, I'm not having intercourse with the individual. I'm not having sexual intercourse with it. But in your mind you are. And that's just like you doing it. In Matthew 5:28, it said, Jesus said, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committed adultery already in his heart. And that could go either way, male or female, because there's no man, no woman, no Jew, no Greek, no bond, no free. You know, we all are one in Christ Jesus. We talk of spiritual things. And also, spiritual, emotional infidelity come in another form, too. When it comes to our mind, it can cause you, even if you're saying, well, I'm not married. If I'm having sexual intercourse, you're still wrong, because one thing, that's fornication. And we know we're not supposed to be having sex with anyone if you're not married to that person. We don't have a legal license to be having sex with that person, individual, if it's not your spouse. And if you're married, you got to be having intercourse with your spouse only, because God gave marriage a covenant. It's a binding agreement, a binding bond in the eyes of God. And what happened is, when emotional infidelity, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you are Christian, whether you're not, emotional infidelity comes to all of us. And that same thing, it leads to committing adultery. It's a very cunning spirit. It comes for three reasons. It comes to kill, it comes to steal, and it comes to destroy. Emotional infidelity, it comes to steal your joy, your peace, your happiness. It comes to kill your marriage, your relationship with God. And if you don't have a spouse, you're single, it kills your relationship with God, because when you start putting other things as being single before your relationship with God, that means you could also get attached and start desiring things more than God and pleasing to be with somebody or know it to be a thing. And you put that before God, that person, that's emotional, spiritual infidelity, adultery, and it caused your relationship with Jesus Christ to be broken. And that's when the spirit and the occurrence of backsliding get a chance to come in. And also, and you divorce your relationship with God. And also, it comes to destroy our soul. So we have to be very mindful of that. It's like a seed planted in your mind. And you probably wonder, okay, what does it mean by emotional infidelity? Emotional infidelity, simply it occurs when we think intimately and crave emotional intimacy for someone other than our spouse, someone other than God. We just think about that thing over and over, day and night. It's almost like a person preparing to be in a play. They memorize that line, that part they have to play in that particular movie or set, and they just rehearse that thing over and over into that mind. They get into that character head until they actually just become that person. Where the same thing happens with infidelity in the spiritual realm. You know, we think about things, you think about things that fantasize sexually or emotionally about inappropriate sinful behaviors, that soon it becomes a part of you. And you find yourself living in that sinful life that will cause distraction and divorce and problems inside your marriage. The same thing happened with emotional infidelity. That's how it occurred. When we everyday normal living routines we go to, not even thinking about it, because it's so corny and it seems so innocent. But you find yourself, when you ended one thing after another, you find yourself so far gone, like, how did I get this far? I mean, I love my spouse. I love my wife. I love my husband. We did things together. We just had one simple argument. I mean, and I just talked to a friend, how did I get this far? That comes from emotional infidelity. That comes from you thinking about and rehearsing things in your mind. And then you like, okay, now that you have that in your mind, you wonder, okay, what can I do to get that out of your mind? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:15, say, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You have to cast those thoughts down. They will come to your mind. They will come to your mind. Even if you have a marriage problem, you might say, I'm going to leave my husband. No, don't leave your husband. Don't leave your wife. You cast that imagination down. You think on what God told you about your marriage. You think about the vows, because that's when the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And what happens is we go along with our everyday normal lives, and it sneaks in so cunning. It seems to be like harmless things to do. You know, it's a good thing to do. I mean, it ain't harming nobody. But I'm going to show you, we've been exposed right now, little simple everyday activities and ideas that will influence our minds. And when I give you the numbers of different things, I want you to just consider establishing healthy boundaries in these areas, because it seems simple, but it can lead to something so critical. First, you have to limit yourself about viewing and avoid watching soap opera, television. Guard what you watch on television. Soap opera is one of the main tactics, and they've been going around for a long time. I can remember when I was a little girl, I was glued to those stories. And I tell you, I couldn't wait to see Victor and Victoria and Miss Chancellor and everything. So I actually thought I was living, and I thought that was the way to live. Same thing happened with emotional infidelity. Same thing as adultery. That causes marriage to break up because you watch those things on television and movies. You have to be careful of the sexual context inside, the context in those extramarital affairs that God has not ordained. And you know, even like on soap opera, they show how easy it is to mess around with other people, other partners of your spouse, and it seems to be all right, but you have to realize that you're looking at a TV program that's on for an hour. That's not real life like that. The outcome is to come to show you destruction in your relationship, but that's not how it happens. You just see certain scenes, like I told you at the beginning, how we just get into that character mind of that, but that's not how it is. Actually, so you have to be mindful of the things you look at on television, soap opera, the movies you go to that contain sexual content and extra marriage affairs and everything. And also be careful where you go out on the internet. The internet is just like a tool for the devil. It gets you access to get to anywhere, anytime, any place. They got it so convenient. It's all in your telephone. It's all in your earplugs everywhere you go. Even children have access to it, and you can use it for good things, but it got so many bad things, channels on the internet, that if you're not careful, you'll find yourself going all off into areas that could cause problems in your marriage, that could cause divorce, such as things. You can stay off that pornography, that area that shows pornography. Stay off those sites. Some other enemy may have them, and you're innocent to be on the computer, and then it just pop up. Delete that. Don't, you got to cause your flesh to delete that. Don't sit there and look at it. That caused you to get in your flesh weaker. That caused the door open for other things to happen to your marriage that would not last. Also, avoid all kind of books that you read. Hustler, all kind of any books you get, novels, romance novels that, you know, causing you to be falling in love with the characters in the movies and stuff, and comparing your spouse to that individual that you're reading about. You have to avoid things like that. It's little simple things like that would cause you going on the computer into the chat room. You have a problem with your spouse. You say, well, I just want to talk to a friend. And you get on the line with somebody, you find yourself calling yourself bosom buddy. You mess around, you have a relationship. Also, if you're a business partner, Be careful. Don't have meetings and counseling sessions with people all by yourself alone. If you're a male, you take and a female, you deal with somebody off the sex, take somebody with you, a coworker. If you're there alone, keep the door open. Don't let your good be even spoken of. Simple things like that. And also give yourself accountability. Give yourself accountability to partner. Another one, have a check-in, you know, with you or your balance system, what's going on with you. Somebody you can share what's going on. I'm feeling this area. I feel weak in this part. I could talk to you. Help me with this in my marriage and that. But talk to somebody. We got Christian counsel that would give you godly directions. Don't just talk to somebody who don't want to lose your friendship or who don't want to make you mad. Talk to somebody who's concerned about your marriage, who's concerned about your soul, who's going to tell you the truth. And you probably say, well, okay, we went through all that. How can I do? What can I do to keep my mind on this here? What can I do to keep my mind straight for that? And the Bible tells us in Philippians that 4 and 8 say, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The Bible has given us things what to think on to keep our minds, you know, in this a place where God can be glorified, that we'll be able to recognize the enemy come in, to be able to do what we need to do to rebound, to save our marriages, and save our marriages. And another thing also in John 8:1, it talks about when the scribes and Pharisees, when they brought the lady in adultery to Jesus, because they knew the law had established that anyone was caught in adultery, they could be stoned. But Jesus, what he did, he knew that the lady had did adultery. But what he said, if any of you have not committed sin, cast the first stone. And no man was able to do that. So that just goes to show you, your sin, whatever, even though we talked about maybe focus on adultery, whatever the cause might be, you think the reason of your marriage not working, whether it be adultery, whether it be miscommunication, whatever it may be, abuse and stuff, God is able to restore marriages. God is able, even though he gave you his permissible divorce on the grounds of adultery, but God is in the forgiving business. He's in the marriage saving and restoration of a relationship. And all you have to do is just repent and for God to deliver you, to save your marriage, because that's what God wants in every marriage. And like I say, it's not only just an adultery, but intercourse, physical intercourse with a partner outside your marriage partner. It's also, like I say, emotionally infidelity. We have to be mindful of that, how the enemy try to come in and cause us to break our relationship with Jesus and also our relationship with our spouse. So it's also good for whether you're saved, whether you're not saved, because one thing, sins of adultery breaks God's law, is punishment by death. You know, it makes one poor, it produces more insensibility, it corrupts the land, it excludes from Christian fellowship, it destroys families, you know, it excludes from God's family, and also it merits God's judgment upon that person. And also, adultery just flat out just causes you to end up in hell. That's all to it, without repentance, when you don't repent. But that's not the way it's going to end up, because God had given us grace to say, whosoever call upon him, he shall hear them and answer their prayer when they come to him with a repentant heart. And so, Radio Land, I just want to leave with you. Strive to make your marriage work. Don't you not give up. And just strive to do what God says, because God honors marriages. And I tell you this, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and God has given you the power to choose to rejoice in it. And that same creative power that he has given you, you use that same creative power to create your marriage how God has ordained it to be. I love you until we meet again. God bless you. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Norville. Dr. Norville talked to us by the wayside. She let us know about the causes of divorce, and we need to know some things that are in our lives and the lives of your neighbors and the lives of your friends, and things that you can counteract with the word of God. There are some things that a reason why God gives us and allow his people to divorce. But here today, we want to let you know some of the pitfalls, some of the things that people that are married, they have gone through down the years, they're still going through things because of the fact that in their life they thought that they had the right person, and in accident it wasn't the right person. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. We want to thank God for Dr. Lucio, when she talked about the Bible and the boards. We talked about the causes of the boards, which came from Dr. Normil. And we have a special guest with us on today, and we just honor the Lord for her. She is the executive director of the latest Choice Crisis Intervention Center. And I would like just to take this opportunity to welcome to the Crossroads broadcast Miss Helen Hoover.
Dr. McCoy, and praise God for the panelists today and our listeners. And I just wanted to come on and speak about, because I am divorced, recently divorced in 2009, and being a woman of God and living, walking that walk with God, it was hard for me to divorce my husband, and it was. But I was listening to the doctor speak just before me, and our problem was that it was money, but it was not a lack of money. It was a lack of having really too much money. My husband is he still is an excellent businessman. He made a lot of money, took care of me and my children very well. But everybody that's listening knows, if you have a marriage, it takes more than just money in a marriage to make it work. We became so detached from each other. We were emotionally bankrupt. We were just emotionally not there for each other anymore. And it just became so bad that we grew apart, so far apart. It was hard to get back to where we were. Like I said, my husband made a lot of money, so we didn't lack for anything. But it was hard for me to divorce him. Divorce comes in so many, it brings so much strife to the family. We have two children. They're grown now. But when you're in a relationship like that, children go through stress also. A lot of people don't realize, even though it's between a husband and a wife, when you have children there, that trickles down to your children, and it causes problems in their life. I mean, as they grow, it's gonna show up somewhere in their life. And thank God my children grew up, and, of course, there were some problems that they went through, but they worked through, and they're grown, and they're very healthy individuals. They're emotionally healthy and everything else. But marriage is devastating. It was devastating for me because we were married, by the time we got divorced, we were married 20 years. And that is a long time to be married to somebody, to share with somebody, and to be with somebody, and come to the point where you have to just divorce them. And it just got, my situation got so bad because I am a woman of God. I did everything to make sure I was right in my marriage, that I didn't have anything that when I stand before the Lord, he's going to say, you didn't do this, this, and that. I made sure that I was in right standing with my husband at all times, no matter what he was doing, no matter what was going on in the household. I had to be in right standing with God, and that's what a lot of us being saved women and men have to be sure of. You have to make sure that you're doing everything you can to make your marriage work. Sometimes things get in the way. Like I said, well, my husband made a lot of money. He started to make things a god. He loved stuff. He loved material things. I'm not a materialistic person, even though he took care of us very well, the house that we lived in, the cars that we drove, and those were paid for. I didn't have to pay for anything. My husband made sure that I drove a car that was paid for. But I still had to do, as a woman of God, I had to be in right standing in my marriage to make sure that my husband's clothes were taken care of, that his food was on the table when he got home. He was a hardworking man. He still is a hardworking man. I can't take that away from him. But I had to make sure that I was in right standing in my marriage. It was hard for me to do. And like I said, it was devastating for me to leave my husband of 20 years and come from North Carolina. After living in North Carolina with him for 20 years, my children are gone to college, finished college, gone on with their lives, and come back home to Jacksonville. Jacksonville is not my home, but this is where we met and we got married. Coming back to Jacksonville and had to start all over again. It was devastating. I had to depend on God just sitting there coming back having to live with my sister in one bedroom. I came from a five-bedroom home, four bathrooms. My house was 4,000 square feet. Coming from all this, and I say this and say that, it's still, God was still with me in everything. But divorce is devastating, especially to Christians. I tried to do everything I could to save our marriage, but my husband was unsaved. When I got saved, we were already married. We were married for like 7 or 8 years, and then I got saved, and I just grew in God and grew in God and grew in God, and that's what I was doing, making me an even better wife. I was a good wife, but I was an even better wife when I got saved. But my husband was not interested in doing that with me, and like I couldn't save him. The life that I lived in front of him would change him, and he would see that. He respected that, but he was not ready to conform to what God would have him to conform to and walk that walk with me. But it was devastating for me, being a woman of God, to get back on my feet. It was just devastating. He took care of me very well. I always worked, but he still took care of me very well. Just the emotional roller coaster that I went on. Sometimes I would just sit and think that it was just God, that I just really lose my mind in all that was going on with me. And in the process of me getting divorced after 20 years, I got very sick, and then I had to go into the hospital. So it was an issue with my health, and it brought all this on. 20 years of stress, because our marriage wasn't a great marriage, but we had our pockets of happiness. We were happy at times, but when my body settled here in Jacksonville, when I settled and God started speaking to me and I got quiet and I started getting with God and praying even the more, my body got sick, and I had to depend on God even the more. It was just so much stress on my body. My doctor told me, when your body is stressed, sometimes your body's stressed and you don't feel it right away. Your body knows it's stress, so that's how it came out. I got very sick, and I had to go into the hospital. But it was just a very devastating time. Divorce is not anything that I recommend for anybody, especially the body of Christ. I don't tell anybody, and I counsel, I work with a lot of young women, young adult women, some women, because as Dr. McCoy said, I am the founder and the director of Ladies Choice Crisis Center, and that helps all women of all ages through whatever crisis they're going through. I don't recommend that anybody leave their husband, except for what the Bible says, that they can be released from the marriage from, to work on their marriages. If it's something they can work on, to stay in that marriage and to work on that marriage and pray that man through. If he's not a saved man, like I said, I got saved 7 years into our marriage, and that was a hard thing. But I had to keep my eyes on God, and I had to lean and depend on him, because my husband is not an awful person. My ex-husband is not an awful person. I can't say that. But money ruled his world, and when we make gods out of things, we know there's a problem. Like I said, we were two different people, but it was so devastating. I had to depend on God. There were times when if I wanted something, I mean, he was going to go and buy it. He was a great provider, and it was just devastating for me, not because I just wanted him to buy me things. I love my husband, and it was devastating after 20 years, 20 whole years of spending my life, 20 years with this man. It was just a devastating process, and I had to get myself back online, especially when it came to my walk with God. I had to really lean and depend on him. There was nobody else to depend on. I had to lean and depend on him. There were some things that when I finally did get the paperwork together to send to him and to divorce him, I mean, some things that we went through, he was not very nice. He was not very nice. It's like I was a stranger to him. He did some things that were not nice to me. He did a whole lot of things that were underhanded. He did a whole lot of things because he had money to do this. So I had to still lean and depend on God. And to this day, I do not hate him for anything. I don't hold any grudges against him. I don't, because I have to have the love of Christ for him, and I do have that for him. So when we go through things like this, we have to know, you know, you still have to look for God. You still have to have forgiveness in your heart, and I do have forgiveness in my heart for him, because a lot of things he did not do right. But it was a devastating, very devastating situation between my husband and I. 20 years was a long time to spend and share with someone, and then your whole world becomes different. I had to deal with that. I had to conform to what my life was, what it is now. It is much better. God has brought me such a long way and has done some awesome things, opened some doors. My life is completely different now, being a more powerful woman of God. But when I got divorced from my husband, I couldn't sit here and say that. I couldn't, because I was on an emotional roller coaster. Things were going through my mind. Things were going through. It was just all off balance. My life was just off balance. I had to get myself, God had to get me back in line, and I had to look to him. I had to pray. I had to fast and pray to get to where I am now. So it is not easy. I don't recommend divorce for anybody, especially, like I said, not the body of Christ, not the body of Christ. If you have a husband or a wife that you can work it out with, you pray and you get that thing together. God honors marriage. He honors marriage. I don't care if you marry somebody, and you know what the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. But if you marry somebody, God honors marriage. You can pray for that person. You can live that life in front of that person that will lead that person to God. And he will or she will become saved. But you have to go. You have to put it in God's hand, because you cannot do it on your own. You cannot do it carnally. You have to do that in the spirit. You have to lean on, depend on him. It's just my situation didn't work out that way. But there are other people out there, I know their situation can work out. I know it can. If you lean and depend on God and you put it in God's hand and you keep that woman, that husband or that wife before God, it will work out. God honors marriage. If you have a good person in your life and you have a good woman or a good man in your life that you're married to, you make sure that you are not in error in your marriage, that you are not in error. No matter what they're doing, you can pray about it, and God will fix it. But you have to lean and depend on him, and you have to have faith that he will do it. So back to you, Dr. McCoy. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Helen Hooper, for giving us insight into a relationship that she was in, into a marriage, a sacred relationship. She did all that she could in order to save her marriage. But for some reason, her husband and her was not able in order to make this marriage work. I believe that if we can start off our relationship with Christ, when we, the Bible says, that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to us. That's why it is so important when we enter into a relationship, because as Dr. Alicio had told us earlier, and it tells us how many people today, and you're out there today, that have entered into a marriage, and you're one of those statistics, one of those people that are now divorced because of the fact that the relationship did not last. There is approximately 40% of marriages that end in divorce. And that means that every two marriages that commence, one ends in divorce. Did you not hear when Leon Petalo said, and I want you to kind of think back when you got married, because I can think about when I got married and when so many of you that said, I do. Leon Petalo said, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing for his life. And the woman will agree, companionship has made her feel so complete. With you and me and the Lord up above, we have security. We have security. He said, you fill my life with so much joy. I cannot even remember how it was before. And though sometimes we disagree, you still know that I love you and you love me. With you and me and the Lord above, we have security. We have security. Security. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Nothing can separate you from me. This is what he was saying. That's how he felt about his wife, because they had that oneness together. They had, was on that one mind. You can't make the other individual live or think the way that you want them to live. But we are responsible for the way that we live, the way that we treat another. He said, I worship and adore you. I put no one else before you. And I'm like, sure, if I can speak for him, I know that he couldn't put anybody before his mate, and no one should put anybody else before their mate but God himself. He said, this is my vow to you, my love through all eternity. And now, at last, I understand a law was made in heaven before the world began. And as we dream, as lovers do, pray that all we hope will come true. With you and me and the Lord up above, we have security, we have security. Do you remember that time? Do you remember the time when you were standing before the woman of God or the man of God, and you were so in love with one another? Sometimes you couldn't even see other people because you seen that mate, and because you was in love with that mate, the male in love with that female, and that female in love with that male, that husband that they adore, that husband that they wanted to spend the rest of their lives with. So here we see, here in the Word of God, it tells us, we want to talk about the effects of divorce. And we talked about earlier, we were talking about how in the early Eden, if I had spoke about this before on our earlier broadcast, was a group of middle-aged men and women gathered at a restaurant, the north of Chicago, for their weekly meeting of Divorce Anonymous. And they came to share their feelings and talk about the pain and their concerns without having to be on God. Like most people who are divorced, are in process of ending divorce, these members of Divorce Anonymous knew that a marriage breakup can thoroughly disrupt a person's life. One life is disrupted. You have a feeling of self-worth, feeling a sense of don't have that security like Leon Patella was talking about. Sometimes the effects of it is physically, as Miss Helen Hooper was telling us about. It even sent her to the hospital because of the distress that she was going through. Yes, it touched her most likely psychologically and spiritually. So therefore, we have so many things that we can talk about that will affect us as men and women. And so, therefore, it is important that we seek the face of God. Sometimes it can get where in that our thinking is irrational. And sometimes we need that God would help us where in our that we can have better interpersonal relationship, because if it doesn't happen, we it is wherein that a lot of tension and that feeling and stress and anxiety, a lot of emotion is built up. So therefore, when we begin to think about effects of divorce, it is more than just the two people that are involved in the divorce. It can affect, extend to children, parents, family members, fellow employees, friends, neighbors, and people in our church. Yes, in the church. Yes, on your job. Some common patterns as group began to separate. In most cases, one spouse is ahead of the other and decided to end the marriage. Yes, it's the one that's been thinking about it. One that maybe been at home or in their car and lying in their bed, and they're thinking about, you know, I think this marriage is over, and I'm going to tell my spouse that I want to end this marriage. I'm not in love with this person any longer, anymore. What happened to that beautiful bride? What happened to that man that was in love with the husband? Both of them, we find that there has been changes in their lives. Once the other partner decided that they no longer want to be in this relationship. And when the issue of divorce is finally mentioned, the spouse, we hear the news often feel helpless and devastated. And I can imagine a person that get the news, that receive the news that the husband want to leave them. They have found another woman, and they want no longer part of this marriage. Yes, it is devastating. For whatever reason, it's devastating because of the fact that these two people, I believe that Ms. Hooper said that she was married 20 years. 20 years to a man that's that was a good provider for she and her family. But things did not go the way it should have gone. There, something happened that caused them to want a divorce. And it let us know that the patterns appear in this pattern. It appears in many, many marriages. It may apply to an individual who is breaking away from home. You can apply to a person that may be leaving college or quitting college, a person that's been in, on a job, and they decided that they're going to leave that job, or they got fired from that job. Well, in this case, we find that there could be tension. If the person needs time to adjust in times of difficulty such as this, it can lead to emotionally. It can do a emotionally download on this individual, and they need help, and they need help from God. They need help from that Christian counselor that can be able to talk to them, that they can be able to tell them or talk about what's happening, because sometimes people, they have so much emotional things that are happening in their lives that they don't have anybody to really talk to. They can't trust anybody with what's going on in their mind. They can't really trust anybody to tell what the husband did or how that husband or that wife treated them or mistreated them. One spouse sometimes is the instigator, the initiator. They initiate things. And what I'm saying is this, that they're the one to begin to think about that I want a divorce for whatever reason, whether this person may not be even be saved. And I believe that in the case for Ms. Hooper, I don't believe that it seems like her husband didn't have that foundation, that solid foundation. I believe that she told us that he was a great provider. But when we think about it, if she said it's good that one can provide for you, but yet if that person is in your life and they can't give you that love and they can't treat you tender and they can't give you that tender loving care, that they can't be understanding, if they can't speak to you in a voice or a tone that is appreciated and that you can endure, then sometimes you take it year after year after year, and you have to, during this time when it began to happen, you need to seek the face of God. Because if you don't seek the face of God, that's why we have a percentage of men and women that have divorced one another. They walked away, and it's so easy now for people to walk away from a marriage. They just, sometimes if you can just see people, how they would throw their hands up into the air, say, this is it, no more. I'm not taking it anymore. That's why we need God. That's why we need the Word of God. That's why we need for somebody to be able to sit down and to listen to us and to hear what we're saying. And if you don't have that individual in your life, I want you to know that the one that will never leave you nor forsake you, the one that will always be there, the one that will give you the right answer every time was Jesus Christ himself. But you're going to have to study the Word of God. You're going to have to be in that relationship with him so you'll be able to hear him, that you can trust him, that you can believe him. All the things that, some of the things that you want in your husband, to be able to trust him, believe him, to have confidence in him, well, you need to have that in God. So you can't always rely on man, but you certainly can rely on God. No, you cannot always rely on them, but you can rely on God. And this is what I think that Ms. Hooper was saying to us as well, she as a believer in God, she tried to do those things that would bring a unison and bring that relationship closer together, but because of the partner, the mate that she had was not of the same mindset. And sometimes you have men and women in abusive relationships. Sometimes you may have a male that would abuse their wife. They would batter. I'm talking about domestic violence in a relationship. I'm talking about battery. I'm talking about wherein people having to go to the hospital because of they've been battered. They have been cut because of the other partner. And I'm talking about whether it's a male or female. You may think, well, Dr. McCoy, you're talking about this thing that may happen to a female. A male have injured a female. The wife has been injured. Sometimes it's the same thing with a female. They are battering in domestic violence with the female as well. So we need, number one, to put God in the forefront of our lives. We need to let God just be our all in all. And when we find that we were talking about that initiator, and they have been thinking, oh, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to get out of this marriage, I can't take it any longer. And if your life is being threatened, if you feel that this man or this woman is going to kill you or take your life or take the lives of your children, you need to go away from that. You need to leave because your life is more important than your life being taken. And if you're consistently being battered with domestic violence, then you need to report it. You need to let somebody know what is going on in your marriage. Now, if you can, many times when things happen and the onset of it, you need to seek counseling. And, you know, I will advise anybody to see a Christian counselor because of the fact that they will tell you truth. The Bible says ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But he said, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. Somebody that's not going to sit there, and you have friends, you have relationships that sometimes you go to, and you're listening for them to tell you the right thing. And your girlfriend may say, you know, leave this man. Leave him. Leave that woman. If you're not in love with him, or if you found somebody else that you like better, leave him. No, that is not what the Word of God tells us. It tells us the reasons why we should get a divorce and why things should happen in our lives. But I'm telling you here today, as we talk about the initiator, the person that's been thinking about it, the person that after they've thought about it, they'll bring it up to the other partner. The other partner feels like, they, as I said before, they're devastated because of the fact that sometimes they don't have a clue to what has happened and what is happening. So we need to make a difference. We need to be able to sit down, number one, with our partners. And I think what I'd like to say to you today, and I know that we're talking about the effects of divorce. Yes, it is a great effect, like I said before. It is a great effect. So it affects not only the two people that are involved, it does affect the children. It affects the mother-in-law, the father-in-law. It affects the people in the church. It affects those people on your job. It affects a whole lot of people. So what you want to do is that you want to make sure that this person that you are marrying is that person that ordained of God for you to marry, to be in your life. I know the man may look good. I know that woman may look good. But you know what? When you can't sometimes see what's on the inside of that person, when God, he sees and he knows, so he knows the very hair upon that person. He knows the heartbeat of the way that they are speaking, how they articulate. And if everything. So you need to acknowledge God. If God say no, not to marry this person, you should not marry them. And then when we begin to look at, it says, I told you about the initiator, then sometimes they realize the relationship is going down, began to wonder privately at first that the marriage can be saved. No, can I save this marriage? Can I stay in this marriage? Because anybody that's been married a long time and a woman or a man come up to them and say, this marriage is over, then you want to say, most time that prophet will say, honey, what can I do to save this marriage? What did I do? I'll try to do better. Tell me what I can do in order to save our marriage. And some will, some will not, but it is in that relationship that you'll find that emotions are stirred up, because many people cannot take being denied or being not a part of that other person's life. Remember, that's a partner that you laid with night after night, you ate with, you communicate with. Sometimes that person was the person that you had your first kiss with. It could have been that way. And then all of a sudden, there is a change in the life. Dr. Normia talked about the person that committed adultery. So there's many things out there that are drawing people to the Lord. But we must get the word of God so that we can stand and that we can prevail, and God will take care of it. Dr. Lucio was telling us that, you know, it's not a domination for divorce. God will forgive us. You know, sometimes we're not able to stay with that person for whatever reason, but God will forgive us like he will forgive you for every sin. Just don't make it a habit. Don't make it a habit. Some people have been married 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, and that should not be. You're not seeking the face of God. He is not seeking the face of God. But here, when we began to look at it, you began to think about, what could I do? Could I make it on my own? Because there's a lot of things that a woman that is divorced, they have a lot to think about. You know, just like Ms. Hooper said, she had her husband. He gave her so much. He gave her cars to drive. He gave her a nice home to live in. But then if you have two people in a marriage, and this is one of the things that will affect the marriage because of the fact that there's that provision that was made is no longer there. And I'm not telling you to say, and a reason to say for that, but I'm telling you the effects of divorce, your financial status, it is so changeable if you don't have the money, both of you, in order to maintain your way of living. Also, how it also affects the kids. Maybe the schools that they're going to, the house that they're living in. And a person, it's not the same, because a lot of times people are lonely after they get divorced. They are so lonely. They can't get, it seems like they cannot adjust to being alone without their husband. They need some help. Then, when we talk about them not being alone, then we find that even during the divorce, how it affects, because there considered to be arguments that take place sometimes. When you're going through the divorce, you find that when people are going to the lawyers and they're going to places wherein that they could end the marriage, there's a lot that's coming up with that. So it's something that we should think about. It's something that we should consider, putting God in the forefront of our lives. We have to put God in the forefront of our lives. Sometimes the initiator tries to provoke the other partner into declaring first that the marriage is over. There are sometimes they'll do things that will try to make them say, oh, that the woman say, okay, I want a divorce. Sometimes people do that. They try to initiate. They try to do things. The other probably try to do things in order to make the woman or vice versa to say, okay, I want a divorce. We have to pray. We have to consider what is happening during a time of stress, a time that we are going through, that people go through in marriages. Often it is the initiator who announced the breakup. The spouse who hears the news may be shocked and they may be deeply hurt. And most times they are. But the initiator have had time. Remember, the initiator have time to deal with things that they are about to do. They have time to think about the separation because they had time to think about it. They are the ones that have told the other partner that they want a divorce. So whatever they thought about it or whatever emotion that they went through at first, they have had time to go through certain things. And then it says sometimes that couples come for counseling at this time, but often one or both other spouses have made a decision that they want a divorce. They've already made up their mind. Some people, they do go to Christian counselors. They go to the secular counselor. But sometimes people have already made up in their mind that they are going to get a divorce. And especially if they have another person out there and they want to begin a new life with somebody new, sometimes it's very difficult in order to talk these people out of what they already have made up in their mind that they were going to do. The preparation period is also so stressful, and it leaves deep scars in the form of depression, anxiety, low self-esteem, anger, guilt, and self-doubt, especially in partners who want the marriage to continue. There is a litigation period, a time when the couple can become adversaries, each one trying to work out the best deal for themselves with the help of their lawyer. Then it can be a period of time of tension and insecurity, of anger, and considerably expense, because it does cost in order for a person to get a divorce. It's going to cost for you, most of the time, the wife would get the house and the certain parts of the finance, and it's vice versa. So it is not easy sometimes. Each partner may admit to some fault in the marriage breakup, but more often the blame is each mate is criticizing one another. And slowly there is a change in their form. I'm married, I'm getting divorced. Take time to settle. A person thinking that, oh, yes, I've been married. And they love the idea that they were married. And it's a great idea that they were married. People that have been married 10 and 15 and 20 years ago, here they can say that, oh, I was married. Here I was married yesterday, but here my husband is asking for the divorce today. So that's not easy. That is very difficult sometimes. Like the people in the Divorce Anonymous group, they experience these things that happen to them. So they need to have counselors to help them to go through these periods of time in their life. And even more, awful things do inflict on their children. Sometimes they think about, oh my goodness, all these things are happening to me, but then it's happening to their children as well, because if they have children, they're losing their father or they're losing their mother. So therefore, it is something that we have to be very prayerful. We have to really ask God to really help us to be able to do these things that are going to bring life in our marriage and bring longevity in our marriage. The divorce process is unpleasant and devastating for everyone in the family. It is distressing for relatives and disturbing for friends. It can be more traumatic than a death in the family, since it tears family members apart rather than bringing them together. There are few family crises such that do not have profound things that happen in their life. It is some profound things that happen in their life when they are torn apart. There are few family crises that doesn't. The divorce almost is always a period of mourning. It's just like you lost a person in your life. They're not physically dead, but they are there on the inside. Things are they're not alive. They're not joyful. They're not at peace. You know, because of the fight, it seems like a loss. It's a great loss. So, therefore, it includes a mourning, which involves the experience of remembering the good and the happy times in the marriage. A negative mourning, which involves the experience of confusion, of self-pity. Assembling the pieces is always picking up the demands of life and learning to live without a mate. Yes, sometimes you do have to assemble the pieces. Sometimes you have to put things together. But always remember, you don't have to put a thing together by yourself if you just acknowledge God, if you just put God in the forefront. In time, the growth period begins. Hear people honestly face the reality of their new status in life. You need to set time aside for meditation and reading. These are some of the things that will help you. You need to set a time for prayer and personal reflection and get involved with new friends. And because sometimes the friends that you and your husband had, sometimes they're no longer in your life. So you ask God to give you those new friends and also to give you people in your life that's going to cause you to be better. And they called you to be peace, have that peace inside. And nobody can give you, I'm telling you, that nobody can give you peace that you need except God himself. So try to fight the self-pity, because I know that you can. Sometimes people, they're going through things and they're down. And yes, self-pity does come in, but you don't have to continue to live in self-pity. You can get up. You can go forward. You don't have to go backwards because you are somebody. You are going somewhere. You can make it. You got to know that you can make it. Things happen in your life, but you got to look at it positive, that I am going to make it. My husband left me, but I'm going to make it. My wife left me, but I'm going to make it. I can make it. And in each of the stages, we, as a counselor, as Dr. Normio, Dr. Lucio, and we will talk to you, because I know sometimes you go through emotional stages of your behavior. Sometimes it does affect your emotional side of your behavior, your social behavior, and also it can affect spiritual effects of divorce. So all of this, it does happen emotionally, as we have seen divorce. As when Ms. Uber was talking about it, she had to eventually go to the hospital because of the things that she was going through. So sometimes we need to just know that the enemy is out there. The enemy is trying to put some things upon us and make it even worse. But we can have the peace that we need. Watch for anxiety. Watch for guilt, the guilt feeling. Sometimes you're going to have those feelings. Could I have done better? Could I have been a better husband? Could I have been a better wife? Sometimes fear of being alone. Sometimes, you know, you used to that person being by your side, they're no longer there. So a lot of fear, how am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to keep this mortgage going and this rent going? How am I going to take care of these two or three children that's in a home? You know, with God on your side, you can work it out. It will be worked out. And it's sometimes sadness and depression try to set in. But let me tell you, God can give you that joy on the inside. He can give you that peace that you don't have to be depressed. You don't have to stay depressed. I know it's a hard thing sometimes to try to download and adjust to, but you can do it. You can do it through Christ Jesus. You have to know who you are and who God made you to be. So it is so important that you let God lead, guide, and direct you. Sometimes there's a sense of wherein that people feel like they cannot make it. They are alone, just waiting for things to happen in their life. They sometimes waiting for expectations. Maybe that other mate, their mate that left is going to show up. They're going to come back in their line. You have to let life be in the hand of God. If it's God's will for that person to come back in your life, he'll bring them back in your life. If it's not, you have to go on. You have to live. So you need to look to God. He is the one that is able to bring you through anything that you go through. Divorce involves the loss of love and the death of a relationship. It is valid to think of divorce as a grief reaction that all of emotions that grieving is involved. And you know, if you lose a person, you know that there is grief. So you don't have to be ashamed of letting somebody put you down because of the fight. There is a grief period that you go through, but it's not going to be for the rest of your life. You are going to make it. You got to tell yourself that you are going to make it and that I'm going to be all right. During the Christmas time, I'm going to be okay. During Thanksgiving time, I am going to be all right. When that anniversary comes that you celebrated with your mate, I am going to be all right. So, therefore, you have to talk to yourself. You got to know that God is on your side. Divorce affects how one feels, but it also influences what one does. So, therefore, eating, paying bills, solving daily problems, taking care of one's property and other routine must be continued. They have to be continued. The things are not going to run by themselves. Don't fall apart just because things happen in your life. Life goes on. If God is the center of your life, then you know that you are going to make it. You have to make it, and you can make it. If there are children, the divorced person must adjust to becoming a single parent. Many women that were divorced and they become single parents, they made it. They are still making it because they decided that they had Christ on their side. They decided that I'm going to take care of what God has given me, what God has blessed me. And what I don't have, I know that God's going to give it to me. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to take care of my children. And I'm going to be that woman of God or that man of God that God would have me to be. So I want you to know we don't have much time left, but I want to go in prayer right now. And before we go in prayer, I would like to thank Dr. Rosemary Lucio, Dr. June Normeal, a special guest, Ms. Helen Hooper, for being on this broadcast today on Crossroad Broadcast. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We pray for all that you have done, all God you're going to do according to your word. Now, Lord, even as the counselors, God, have reached out to our audience. God, even as you have given us this inspiration and to go forth and to tell your people what they need to know, and God, for them to be healed, Father God, through the spoken word and through the encouragement of your word. God, we told them what you said, and God, We know, God, that you're going to make the difference in their lives. So, Lord, I bind every work of the enemy, every work of Satan, every satanic force, every work of darkness, every hoodoo, black and white magic, God, everything, God, that every fear, all anxiety, Lord God, that have tried to come, and God, try, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, to destroy marriages, Lord God. I ask you, God, to build of the people up, Father God, whether they're men or women. God, build up their families, cause them to be strong, cause them, Father God, to know, God, that you are in the forefront, and you are there just for the asking. And Father, we just thank you, Lord. Heal right now, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Anyone that are not saved, we ask you, Lord, even now, God, to save, deliver, and to make free. This has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy from the Crossroad Broadcast. You're invited to tune in on Monday at 5 o'clock p.m. God bless you.